There's no stronger wind blowing than the one that blows tonight up the canyon from the desert. Hey, and you don't know wrong from right. Don't give a damn about your convictions or what did you endorse. You have your abstractions and I'll blow you plumb off course. You better run.
Sweet. You guys ready for it?
Yep.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Kayak Nerds. We're on season 2, episode 3 tonight, and my name is Ryan.
And hey, my name is Alan, the other kayak nerd of many kayak nerds.
That's all of us.
That's all of us. And tonight, or today, wherever you're listening, we are talking with Ryan J. And Ryan reached out to us with some questions about progression and being a new boater, relatively new boater, and just some kind of things like that. And honestly, that is all I know so far. So I'm gonna pass it over to Ryan and tell us a little bit about yourself and where you are, and what do you do for boating?
Sure. So yeah, I am the other Ryan, also a kayak nerd. I started listening to you guys right when you started. I actually reached out. You guys sent me some stickers I threw on the trucks. That was cool. And then as I was listening, I was like, I wonder if they want a beater to come on and ask some beginner questions. And so I reached out and you guys were like, yeah, absolutely. And so here we are.
Solid. How did you find us?
I was on Spotify and I just searched kayak. And then the kayak nerds popped up because a buddy of mine and I, we would always talk about paddling, and I have a different podcast, and I was like, dude, we should just start a kayaking podcast. And he was like, no one wants to listen to me talk. Like, no, that's all right. And I was like, well, I want to hear some paddling stuff while I was sitting at work. So I was like, Spotify's got to have something. And then here we are. And I was like, this is exactly what I was looking for.
Well, so, cool.
Sure enough.
Thanks for being one of our roughly 200 listeners.
Hey, that's you know, multitudes more than we have on ours. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Nice.
So well, yeah, I sent you guys kind of a list of some stuff I want to talk about. So I don't know if you want me to just dive into kind of I'll call it my paddling story, how I came to paddling.
That'd be great. I'd love to hear it.
Sure. So like I said, I'm originally from Michigan. I'm currently living in the Portland, Oregon area, and I essentially moved out here for paddling, but I want to get ahead of myself. So yeah, I grew up in West Michigan, and it was kind of one of those things where it was like, there's a plan for growing up. You know, you go to college, you get a job, find a girl, you get married, you get a house, you get a dog. And so I was moving along that process, and I had nothing that was really fueling me. And so I don't think I was like full out depressed or anything like that, but like my buddy Chris was like, hey, why don't you come paddling with me? And I'm like, you know, like for years, this was like a 3-year process of him being like, he started out as a sea kayaker, then got into whitewater. And he's like, hey, come paddle with me. Come paddle with me. And I'm like, finally, like, okay. All right. COVID hits. I'm like, sure. Let's give this a shot. And so I'm like, well, first of all, what do I do? Like, what boat do I get? And I'm looking at like a Sun Dolphin. And he's like, no. Let's get you in a real boat. So there's a kind of a kayak shop / school in Lansing called The Power of Water. And so I went there with him, and they gave me a Piranha Fusion to demo. And so we took that down a river, and I was pretty hooked. I did not even have a skirt my first time down. So my first time down, we went down like a class 1 river with like a singular class 2 little rapid. And as I'm going through this thing in my mind, this is like a 10-foot waterfall. Like, I'm like, this is wild. There's water coming over, crashing, getting like filling up my cockpit. I'm like, this is insane. And like, bold, next time we go out,
move, sir.
Yeah. And this was also like March in Michigan, like the water's frigid. So yeah, we go and we get done, and the next time we go, I'm like, all right, I want to see that rapid that we ran. Like, that thing was wild. And we look at it, and it's like a foot drop. It's like nothing. It's this tiny. I'm like, no, like where's like the waterfall that we went down? And he's like, no, dude, like that's it, like that's all we did. And I was like, oh no, this isn't good. But yeah, I became hooked. It definitely, like, it fuels me. Kayaking is definitely my passion, enough so that my wife graciously agreed to move out to the Pacific Northwest.
Wow.
More or less so that I could kayak more. I mean, we have friends here, there was other reasons, but like the driving force behind it was like there's a river in Michigan to paddle. Like I said, it's class 1, like a little bit of class 2.
Wow.
And we'd carve that up like on the reg, but got boring quick. And my wife was willing. So yeah, we made the move out here. And now I've paddled a lot of class two, a little bit of class three, and love every second of it.
That's great. That's a great story.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm gonna ask you to tell your story after this, Alan. We actually have one of my friends listens, and she's like, I really need to know Alan's, like, how he came to paddling story, but I'm gonna tell mine really quick because it's the exact opposite of yours, Ryan. I paddled somebody, one of my friends, I grew up in California, and one of my friends went to Stanford, and Stanford has like all of these boats. They have, you know, they have all this money, and so they have this outdoor program and they have all these boats. And I went, and they're like, you should come paddling with us. And I was like, what does that mean? And we went to, I don't even remember, the American River or something. And I absolutely hated it. I was terrified the whole time. I was like, you're putting me in a skirt. This is a what? You're who? And it was class two, same thing. I like couldn't figure out how to get around a bend in the river. I was like, we're gonna run into the wall. I'm like headed straight at it. And it was terrible. And I had no interest in it, and like just forgot about it, and actually ended up coming back to kayaking via moving out here. But that was the actual first experience I had with it. So similar, but I think that's how most people get thrown into the sport. Just kind of like, what is this?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Alan, for you, how did you end up kayaking? I actually don't know the story either.
Oh, it was a long time ago. I got into it when I was like 14 or 15. And, I was actually growing up in Austin, Texas, of all places. Don't hold it against me. But there was a very vibrant paddling club in Austin at the time. And I had, with my family, we had taken some sit-on-top kayaks out to the surf, just out to the beach. And I was like, well, this is something, this is really fun. This is great. And somehow I ended up hearing about a whitewater boat class on a lake in Austin, hosted by that Austin Paddling Club. And I don't remember how I heard about it, but I was like, I want to try this. I want to do it. Let me try it. And I took that one class and I loved it. And they let me take the follow-on class 2 weeks later, which was a intro to whitewater class. And, you know, they had the boats for me to demo and try and everything.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I kind of did those back to back and absolutely fell in love with it. And it was one of those things where I was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I'm going to figure out how to do this for the rest of my life, one way or the other.
Absolutely. So that was the deal. My first time out, that's exactly how I felt. I was like, all right, how do I get more of this? Like, I don't know. So we'll get into boats, but I bought my Prana Fusion like the day after. I was like, called him up, like, here's the money. Like, this is my boat now. This is awesome. And then, yeah, quickly got bored of that, but that's a whole different story. So yeah, that's absolutely how I felt too. It's awesome.
Sometimes, you know, those things, they grab you and you're like, I know this is what I want to do. And sometimes you recognize that right away. And sometimes it takes a bit of a process, right, to get into that mode with it.
Absolutely. So like for me, mountain biking was definitely the process. And I think like I always talk like to my friends, like the difference is like mountain biking, skiing, it's more of it's an input sport. It's like I do a thing and then there's a result. Whereas mm-hmm. with paddling, it's more of it's a feedback loop, right? So like mm-hmm. I make a move, but the river's also moving me. So like it's a dance with the river, and it's always you put input and then the river's like, no, that was the wrong input. You're flipped. Yeah. And then you have to, you know, flip back up. And so it's just, I like that. It's always, you have to work for it. It's not just like, oh, make a turn. Okay. Yep. Next thing. It's a ongoing process every time.
I have to say, I really like how you phrase that skiing and biking are input sports. You make an input and it does a thing, because you can stop fundamentally.
Right, yeah.
Whereas in a river, yep. you cannot stop.
Yeah. So the group of friends I made out here, they're big, like with skiing and mountain biking in particular, they're big, like, oh, just like you, oh, you've biked before. Okay. Black Diamond. No problem. Right. Like kayaking doesn't work that way. There's no like, I'm just gonna, I mean, you can portage, but there's no like, yeah, I'm not feeling good, I'm gonna stop and walk the rest of this feature. It's like, you're in a rapid, you're in the rapid, and it's gonna do with you what it wants to do with you.
Exactly.
Very true.
Yeah. One of our friends, he has more of the other Ryan's experience with kayaking, where he's gone before and he went with some like, you know, class 4 or 5 boaters who like took him straight onto a class 4 first time in a boat.
Ooh.
And he's like, ouch, I will never kayak again. And yeah. I'm like, well, yeah, because your first experience, it was terrible. Like,
would definitely not recommend that.
Right. Yeah. That's the opposite way to get into it. Get into it the way my buddy got me into it. Start me on class 1. Don't even put a skirt on me. Now I feel safe. Like, good to go.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, props to your buddy, because yeah, as you say, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, and that was his plan. Sure. You know, he was like, "I want this guy to." I guess his plan worked too well. He's like, "I want this guy to love paddling and paddle." Like, I thought he has someone to go with. So yeah, I went with him all the time for like a year, and then I was like, "I'm really sorry, but I'm moving out west so I can paddle more." Like, he's definitely gonna listen to this. So sorry, buddy.
That's funny.
That is funny.
Well, hey, listen, Ryan, you sent us a great list of some ideas and some questions that you had. And so I think what we should do is just kind of launch into that. And, sure. You know, I'd love to kind of hear where you're at with that list and kind of, you know, what you're thinking. I'm sure you have some ideas in mind of some things that you kind of wanted to discuss. So, so just to say, are we on the same page that you only started kayaking like a couple of years ago at the start of COVID?
Well, it's actually like a year ago in the middle of COVID. It's like basically a year ago right now, if I had to guess.
Wow.
My next topic here is like basically how to choose a boat. So I'll just walk through that. So like I said, I started in a Prana Fusion and I was in Michigan. And I paddled that for a couple months. And then that class 1, class 2, it's called the Rogue River. There's a Rogue River out here. Very different.
Very different.
Class 1, class 2. Very different.
No, very different.
So when I tell people, I'm like, yeah, like I started paddling on the Rogue River. And they're like, whoa. And I'm like, no. This is like a little baby river. But I started paddling that. And then like, it's a small river, right? And like a big boat on a small river, not super fun. So I bought a Jackson Super Fun. And we'd carve up that river. We'd catch every little eddy we could. We'd play. There's like a little class 2 feature where you could like, you know, practice ferrying and like surfing and peeling out and whatnot. So like I'd get pretty comfortable in that boat. So then I moved out here where everything's class 2, a little bit of class 3. And I was paddling the Super Fun. First time out, I messaged like the trip leader. I started paddling with the Oregon Kayak and Canoe Club because I wanted to meet some people out here and learn some rivers. And they have been super inviting. So anyone out here should look them up. But yeah, so first trip, group leader, I'm like, hey, I have a Prana Fusion and I have a Super Fun. Which one should I paddle? And he's like, you look like an athletic guy, bring the Super Fun. I'm like, okay, it sounds good to me. So the put-in rapid is a class 3 rapid. And I've never seen a class 3 rapid. And so the Super Fun, I was going through the wave train. It's all right. And all of a sudden, like, I was a little bit not sideways, but like on edge going into one. And when I landed, like airborne landed, I just immediately flipped. And then I tried to roll, carped real bad, tried to roll, carped real bad again. And then I think I tried a third roll and it was horrible. And then I swam. And then they're all like, hey, no big deal, no big deal. So yeah, I got rescued, get my back in my boat, still in a good mood, good day. Second rapid section comes up and it's like a class 2 rock garden, pinned up against a rock, flip immediately. Like I did completely the wrong thing. Leaned away from the rock, real, like I said, this is a beater episode. So real beater move, flipped. And then like, I didn't try a roll because I flipped on my back deck and I was using my paddle to like feel the river bottom. It was like 2 feet deep. And I was like, I don't know how to get from here to like a setup position without smashing my face. So I just kind of stepped out of my boat. And this was at the top of the rapid. And that was the longest swim of my life. I have it all on GoPro. It's terrible. And so then they stopped. We stopped and they're all playing in a wave. I'm just sitting on the shore. And in my mind, I'm like, this is an 8.5 mile paddle. And I swam twice in the first like half mile. I'm like, what am I doing? What did I get myself into? Like, I am not ready to be out here. And this was like the first weekend out here too. Like, so yeah, that was a real rude awakening. I'm, you know, got back in my boat, pulled through, paddled the rest. It was totally fine. The rest didn't flip, didn't swim again at all. It's good to go. But then everybody was like, you need to get a creek boat and it'll handle a lot better. Like you'll be able to, you know, plow through this. No problem. So then I started talking about it with people and thinking about it. And it was like, all right, so on one hand, if I get a creek boat, I'm going to have a better time, an easier time staying upright, easier time getting down it. But I don't necessarily want just a boat that's easy to get through stuff. I want to get better. You know, I want to learn how to handle the super fun in these scenarios and, you know, become a better boater. So I was really torn between, like, if I get a creek boat, will that actually hurt my progression because the boat will be easier to get through stuff? Some people are like, yeah, that makes sense. Some people are like, that's ridiculous. The more paddling you do, the better. So I just want your guys' take on that. And I think I've heard you guys say before that you don't like creek boats. So I'm very curious to see what you have to say on this.
I'm sure Alan has an opinion on that.
I guess before that, does that question make sense?
Oh, yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. It's a great question. And it's one that I've come across many, many times. But Ryan W., I'd love to hear your take on this question.
For both Ryan W., I'm going to just say Ryan Wigman. Let's see. I'm thinking the basic answer is paddle as much as possible. But beyond that, so like doesn't matter what boat. And like if you're in a creek boat and you can make it through the stuff, then you're going to paddle more and you're going to get better. But I also think that mindset of like getting the boat to solve the rapid is the wrong mindset. I mean, sure, a creek boat's better at rapids than a play boat, but also you can learn a whole lot by, Alan and I say this all the time, like make class two, class four. You can make moves, class four moves in a class two section by really like getting in and out of eddies, finding the right spots, learning. I mean, you know, you're not pushing yourself necessarily, but you're pushing yourself in a safe environment, which sounds really boring, but it's not. The more you can do that, especially in a play boat, you can learn a ton from that. Even in a creek boat, just getting in and out of eddies is like most of kayaking. And the better you get at that, the more you can handle everything else. So I would lean towards whatever boat you feel comfortable in. And yeah, I don't have any problem with a creek boat. I think if it helps you paddle more, you'll get better at paddling.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm guessing is similar to what Alan's going to say.
Yeah, it's very similar to what I would say. I kind of equate it to, well, let me back up. This is a question for the ages. It, you know, I think it's one that gets, as you mentioned, it gets debated all the time. And as you say, there are definitely two schools of thought, right? On the one hand, do you want a boat that's easier and is going to just let you bounce down stuff and not necessarily get any better, but just kind of bounce through it? Or do you want a boat that's harder and that's really going to push you to be more proficient in that boat? Both approaches can be valid, depending on your own personality and how you boat and just kind of how motivated you are, how athletic you are, you know, all those types of things. And it's even, I think, dependent upon where you're paddling most, right? For me, as an instructor, I come down on the side of, I'd probably put you in a creek boat first. Think of it like, do you need to have a role to run a class two or three rapid? Probably not, right? Because if you're actually just going through that rapid, you're not rolling. Right. However, if you have the role, you can up your game, you can try new stuff. When you're new, you can flip over, you can get back up and not worry about it. And the being flipped over does not become a hindrance, right?
Right.
It lets you do more stuff. And I think having a boat that is more of a downriver boat, be it a creek boat or a downriver boat or something that's a little bit more friendly and forgiving, I think that as a new boater, as you're progressing, I think that allows you to just basically get in more miles. And I think having the ability to actually make it through stuff, as opposed to feeling like you're fighting through the whole time, is going to let your brain and your body engage more and actually kind of seed in those skills that you're trying to develop.
That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. But of course it comes down to your own personal drive too, because you can take a Greek boat and you can just maybe, you know, on a class two or three, you could just kind of like sit there in the middle and float on down. But you're going to get a lot better if you just try to do like Ryan was saying, if you try to make class four moves in class two or three whitewater. So yeah, you're in a bigger boat, but catch every single eddy. Try to make it as hard as you possibly can. Right. Link different moves together.
Exactly. Yeah. So I took out here, I was working with, there's an instructor that shows up to the roll sessions, the pool sessions, and he mm-hmm. helps people with rolls. So he helped me with my hand roll. And he was kind of telling me, I was telling him like most of the stuff I've learned has been kind of through a buddy, through YouTube. And like, I'd like some sort of instruction just to make sure like I'm not completely wrong. And so he was like, yeah, we probably put you in like my 102 class, because 101 is more basic. And then his 102 class, like, I don't know, scheduling issues. So he's like, well, it's not going to happen this year. Like, would you be interested in 101? And I was like, and we're kind of on the fence about it. And he's like, you know what, why don't you take it? And like, I'll just push you harder than like, I'll critique you harder than the other students. And like, we'll make it worth your time. And mm-hmm. I was like, all right, cool. Cause one of my goals with that, like, I would love to become like a certified instructor and like teach those 101, 102 classes like that. I love getting people on the water. And so, with that, it was kind of like the first day we did flat water, and I paddled my, so I ended up, when I wrote this, I didn't have a second. I had the Fusion and I had my Super Fun, and I didn't have a creek boat. And I was like, I'm going to talk to the kayak nerds, see what they say, and then get another boat. Well, then it took a while to get this scheduled because we're all busy. So I found a creek boat on Facebook Marketplace. So I now have a Jackson Karma. And so I've paddled that a few times. So I started out in that, and it was kind of like, you know, it's definitely weird. It's like compared to my Super Fun, it's not maneuverable the way I'm used to. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's definitely a different experience. So we did that. And then the second day we actually went down a river and I paddled the Super Fun and really worked on what we were talking about, you know, catching eddies, which I felt pretty good at catching eddies. Peeling out, I missed somewhere along the way. I missed a step with that. So I always felt like I got washed out by the eddy line. So that feels a lot better now. And the biggest thing I learned was doing the forward stroke completely wrong. Like I thought I had a good forward stroke because that's really powerful, but mm-hmm. he was like, no, like I think that's what was making me go wrong, because I was leaning forward a lot. Mm-hmm. And so it was really getting a lot of like, I don't know, rock in my stroke. So as I was going over waves, instead of staying flat, I was now like nose dipping, diving.
Right.
Exactly. Huh. And so that's pretty much like that alone has like that made the class worth it alone. It's like figuring out why my forward stroke felt so awkward. So,
well, that's cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And you know, and you were doing that class in the Super Fun or in your new
boat? The first day on flat water I used the creek boat because it was more paddling mechanics and strokes and stuff like that. And he was mm-hmm. like, you've paddled your creek boat less, why don't you use that? Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to make you maneuver around stuff and I want you to have a more difficult time. So mm-hmm. All right, no problem. And then when we were on the water, it was like a class one plus two minus type river, and I was like, I feel really comfortable in my Super Fun on this level water. Like, I'm gonna be in my Super Fun because it's more, it gets punished more by doing wrong moves. So I wanted more of the challenge. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, absolutely. And so yeah, we worked on catching eddies, peeling out, ferrying cross things. I was surfing. He was teaching me how to stern squirt. So like he was like, I don't think I've ever had somebody stern squirt in a one-on-one class before.
Nice.
So yep. And then yeah, in the pool, I've been working on like a hand roll. I slightly can do a back deck roll, but it's not like fluid. It's like, okay, I get and then I roll up. I'm working on getting it all one fluid motion. But after getting kind of pinned on my back deck, I was like, all right, I need to figure out how to roll from there. So I've been working on that. So
fair enough.
It's interesting you've mentioned that about the creek boat and it being hard to maneuver, because I'm having that same issue right now. I love playboats, and I've spent a lot of the last two or three or four years paddling playboats. And creek boats are hard for me. I'm actually trying to figure out how to get back to that as well.
Right.
So it doesn't go away.
It's like in my Super Fun, one little like sweep stroke and I'm like basically 180 or even 360, like with one stroke. And then like getting the boat, I'm like, oh, okay, I've moved 30 degrees.
Yep.
It's just not the same.
Yep.
So I want to give you a little takeaway for, you know, getting back into your creek boat. If you try to, you know, spend more time in your creek boat and really pick the rapids apart, pick, you know, catch all the little micro eddies in the creek boat, catch all the little stuff, hit all the rocks, learn how to hit all the rocks in a stable way, right? Like do all this stuff. And then, and spend like multiple days in a row, multiple outings in a row doing that in your creek boat and really get used to it and dial it in, and then go back and do the same rapid or the same run in your play boat. And you're going to be like, oh heck, I can literally put this little thing anywhere. Seriously. Cause you're going to get so used to the big boat and then you're going to go smaller.
Right.
And you're going to be like, I can do anything I want with this. I feel great. You kind of see how the progression goes. And it's a thing. And I spent a long time almost exclusively paddling a green boat, you know, a long boat.
12 foot dagger.
Almost 12 foot. Yeah. Dagger creek boat. And
normal creek boats are 9 foot. So this is like,
yeah, this is like a Piranha 12R type boat.
Exactly. So I spent all this time in my green boat and I got very comfortable in it. And then I went back to just kind of like a regular creek boat that's, you know, a sub 9 foot, 8 something. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's tiny. I can whip it around anywhere I want. Let's take in a Yeti. So it's that same dynamic.
Right.
You know?
Sure. Yeah, that's good advice.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my plan with it's like, I've got the creek boat and it's kind of like my first time down on like a run. I'll take the creek boat because of that fact. I can just bounce through everything and stay upright for the most part. And then as I'm on smaller stuff, like I said, I'm getting a buddy into kayaking and like our wives want to try it. So like, as I'm on the smaller stuff with them, I take the super fun. And that's kind of been working for me because then, and the smaller stuff, it's way more fun for me to carve it up with that boat that can go anywhere and do anything. And then on the bigger stuff, I have more confidence to just kind of huck it out into the middle of the rapids and, you know, try to ferry versus like the super fun, it gets pushed around a lot. And for like, I'm starting to get used to it more now, but like when I first got out here for like, again, being in Michigan, all the stuff's small, it was like big water, like relatively big water. Pushing around a little boat was not something I was used to. So
right.
Oh God, you're getting me excited.
We're gonna have high water. We'll be here soon.
I can't wait.
Yeah, but I think it all goes back to, you know, something that I say a lot to folks is, you know, find a boat that you're comfortable in, both emotionally comfortable in it, like you feel like you can do what you want to in it, you feel safe in it, and just physically comfortable in it.
Sure.
Because if you're comfortable in your boat, just across the board, you're going to be able to perform so much better in it. And you're going to be able to, like, I think, progress more. You're not going to feel like you're kind of up against a wall.
Sure. All right. So this next one is more, it's more of a question for me because I know my wife's going to listen to this. So in Michigan, I had the crossover Fusion and then my Super Fun, and that was pretty much fine for everything there. Now that we've moved here, I've got the Super Fun, bought a creek boat, and now I've really got my eyes on a half slice. And she's like, how many boats do you need? And I'm like, more. Like the answer is more. So I guess that question goes to you guys. How many boats does one person really need? And then the second question is, why is the answer more?
Well, I have an equation for you. So the equation is N plus one, N being the number of boats you currently own.
Exactly. Yep.
Right.
I can't think of any reason to stop buying boats.
Right. So then like my buddy's wife was like, okay, well, if you had like one boat in each category, how many boats would that be? And I'm like, I mean, like, it's still an, but it's not like what define category, right? Like,
it's just, there's so much to be learned from every single boat you paddle. And I know that I'll never be able to explain that to my girlfriend, but just like, I want to go buy another full slice. I have two or three, and I want another one just because they each have these little differences that you learn something new from that you can enjoy in a different way. Like, having a 12R, I desperately want a longboat because I I want that feeling of going back to a creek boat and be like, wow, this is short. It's just, I want to be able to paddle from Leadville to Canyon City, like 100 miles in a day. And in a normal creek boat, that would not be super fun, but in a 12-hour, it'd be a little bit more fun. So I can't think of any reason to not. Yeah.
Right. Like I want to get a Scorch, you know, those look real fun.
We're going to paddle a Scorch this year. We already paddled the Scorch. I forgot about that.
We already did. Yeah.
When you watching like a YouTube video of a person who really knows how to paddle, like in a Scorch X type thing, it looks like a freaking blast.
I haven't tried the X. I really want to try the X.
Yeah. I'm curious to see the X.
Yeah. But I think my next boat, which I know this being a listener, I know this will make other Ryan happy. I think my next boat's going to be a Piranha Ripper. So.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
I actually think my next boat's going to be a Jackson Antics 2.0.
Okay. That's another Ryan that I'm getting into paddling out here. He bought an Antics. I think it's a 1.0. It was a Facebook find.
Yeah.
But my buddy back home, he has a Fun and a Ripper, and he just swears by the Ripper. So that's, if I'm going to get a half slice, it's going to be a Ripper because they look fun.
I got a Ripper. Go for it, Alan.
Oh, I just said, I want to see the new one that they're coming out with. They're kind of making a racier downriver race version of the original Ripper. And I'm very excited to see that. That might be my next new half slice when it comes
really?
Out. Really? Potentially.
Over the code, not the code, the rewind?
I mean, I do like Dagger boats, but you know.
Love Dagger boats.
I know.
The one thing about the new Jackson boats is I love the watermelon color. Like I want a watermelon boat. I don't even care. I don't care what Jackson boat it is. I want, at some point I'm getting myself a watermelon.
All right. So go look up Riley Frank. If you haven't followed him on Instagram already, shout out Riley. He's the guy who like brought Jackson that color. He'd get his custom colors made and Jackson was like, I didn't know that we could did that. And he's like, you don't. And they're like, awesome. That's really cool. So they brought that color out. But you should definitely go check out his Instagram. He is one of the best playboaters, one of the best kayakers I've ever seen. He ran, Alan, he ran Bailey in his playboat and like was doing tricks off the falls and stuff. And he's really fun to watch. I'd go check him out.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. I will.
Very good.
All right. So I guess my next topic here was kind of progression path. So I think you kind of probably already have kind of an idea of where I'm at. So kind of like class two, maybe getting into class three a little bit. And then kind of my goals are, I've been told everybody says this of like when they're getting into kayaking, like, oh, I don't really want to do class five. And then you get really comfortable in a boat and you end up doing it. But at this point, I'm still in the, I don't really have a desire to do class five, but like, I want to get just like really good on class two, class three. And like you guys were saying, like be able to just completely carve it up, make those class four moves on those rivers. And like, I want to get very good. And then, like I said, I want to become an instructor, kind of long-term goal there. It's kind of my, I'm very far away from retirement. I'm like, you know, 30 something years away from retirement. But kind of my retirement plan is to be a kayak instructor and kind of do my own little kayak shop. So basically, how do I get from what's the best way, the most efficient way to get from where I am to where I want to be? And then I guess, how does that play in with like balancing pushing yourself out of your comfort zone with like getting in above your head, getting out of your skill level? Like, how do you stay walking that line of like, keep pushing yourself, but not in a dangerous way?
I like it. But Ryan, you should take that one away. You've been down this path within the last some years.
I've done it the most recently.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if there's, I mean, just paddling more, period. Whether it's in a pool, in a, like, I was talking to Alan about this. I've got close to 40 hours in a boat and since January because I've been at all the pool sessions. And like last week I learned my offside back deck roll. And the week before that I learned my flatwater loop. And like just the more time you can spend in a boat, the better you're going to be. And then as far as pushing yourself, I think Al and I are extremely spoiled to have one of the best class four runs in the whole country, 30 minutes from our house. And I'm still at the point, I don't really have much desire to run any class five. There's a couple things opening up. Like, I think Bailey's not class five. Gore's not really class five, is it?
People will call Gore Rapid class five, but it's a pretty straightforward, quote unquote, class five.
I might flirt with the line. Is Clear Creek of the Arc class five?
I don't think so.
I don't really have that much desire to jump into that. There's so much fun for me to be had. I spent most of my time on a playboat over the last 4 or 5 years, and I love that. And serious extreme creaking to me is a little bit more risk than reward, but also that's mm-hmm. something for everybody to decide for themselves. So being a boat, the more you're in a boat, the better.
I have, so that being like, back in Michigan, I think there was like a pool session a month or something like that, and here there's like two a week. So I've been spending a lot of time in pools and really locking in my role, my offside role, hand role, back deck role. Not quite, and the offside hand and back deck role are next, but we're working our way up to that. So yeah, it's definitely, I've felt that. There's like the weird step up of like, as the water gets bigger, like I'm real comfortable in like what I'd call small water, and then like medium water, it's like, ooh, that's, you know, that's a bit scary. So it's kind of, now that's the next step, is getting just real comfortable in that, which I agree. I think it's the more time I spend on it, the more comfortable I'll get on it.
Mm-hmm. So I kind of, my quick answer would be, I got two things. One, even though you have a creek boat, and maybe if you're going to be running harder stuff in your creek boat, spend a ton of time in your playboat. Do you have a play park that you can go to with a hole where you can go?
I haven't found it yet, but I'm sure there is.
Find that. And during the summer, when you're not in the pool, spend as much time as you can in your playboat in the hole. Just trying to learn, even if you're not going to compete, try to learn tricks, just try to do stuff. Because what it does is
learn
how to surf. It hones your balance. It really hones your balance over your boat, and it teaches you how to roll up quickly from any position, because you're going to get flipped all the time. And so that's a huge step in your progression, right? Is just to getting that comfort level. Playboating is an excellent way to do that. Two, it sounds like you're already doing this. If you have a good crew or a good handful of people that you enjoy paddling with, go run rivers with people who are better than you, and just tell them that you want to follow them down. Want to follow them down. I call it blue angeling, just like the Blue Angels, right? Just blue angel behind them, and really pay attention to like how they set things up, where they go, what they're doing with their body as they're going through stuff. Like, watch them go through the wave and the hole in front of you, and really try to incorporate what you're seeing a better boater do. And if you can follow them through all that stuff, man, there's nothing better to progress your own sport.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Thank you.
That's what I would say. Cause it sounds like, you know, you've got roles. Sounds like you're pretty comfortable with it. You know, you got to get over kind of an initial hump, but I think you're there from what I'm hearing. Just start following somebody who's you know, you think is really good, and watch what they do.
Awesome. That's the other thing I wanted to say about big water really quick is, like, if you have your role, big water gets a whole lot less scary, because you just roll up. You're not having that problem of rocks being dragged in your face, hopefully, because there's so much more water. And it's interesting you're thinking about a ripper, because that's about the same time that I bought a ripper in my paddling progression, was about where you're at. And it taught me a lot. I don't want to skip ahead too far, but I see on your list that dealing with boily water, and having a ripper in boily water teaches you a lot about staying upright.
Sure. I found that like the biggest difference between the super fun in the creek, but the Karma, is that like boily water, I barely feel it. Like I might feel it just because I start turning, but like, I don't notice they're in the super fun. like any little bit of edge, like my stern's just getting grabbed. It's an odd feeling.
For sure.
Yeah, sure. So we can just go there. Like, we don't have to fall. Like, I'm just going down my list. But so sure. Overall question is, like, have you guys paddled out here, like in the Pacific Northwest?
I haven't as much as I wanted to. I've taken a kind of one trip up there, but it's on my bucket list to spend a lot more time out there. I was up there for a raft instructor course, and so we just spent a lot of time on the Mackenzie, and is near Eugene, Oregon. Okay. And got to run this really awesome little creek. It was called the Blue, but it was, I couldn't even tell you where it was, but it was this little creek that you can get to from Eugene. So it was super fun. And then I've run the Upper East Creek up there too, which was also a hoot.
Nice. So,
yeah, but not nearly as much as I want to.
And I didn't really start paddling till I was in Colorado, but you know, I spent, I don't know if you call California Pacific Northwest, but the north of it kind of is up in the Redwoods.
Depends on who you ask out here, I've noticed. Yeah. Everybody has a different definition of what the PNW is.
Definitely.
But no, I asked that because, like, so I got out here and everyone out here is like, the water's weird here. Like, it's super boily. It's like, and it is like, there's just a lot of, even like little like class 1-2 stuff. It's like got weird boily sections. And I don't know if this is true or not, but everybody out here says it's because it's like a volcanic rock. And like, it's porous and everything's like elevation wise really steep, and so the water just rushes into these like gorges and just churns and boils everywhere. So basically my question there was like, any tips on how to handle that weird boily stuff?
I want to throw out there, this is kind of a strange tip, but getting in a raft learning how to raft guide makes you look at water. And I mean, the basic answer to the question is like, learn how to read water. And boils right. are weird because you can't really read them, but getting in a raft and like feeling how all that affects different sides of the boat, you've got such a bigger surface that like for the water to mess with you with, I don't know, I don't get in a raft very often. Every time I do, I feel like I'm getting a better picture of how the water is.
Sure. I'm
seeing a bigger zone of the river rather than just focusing on my little tiny space of a kayak.
Yeah, I do. Some of the OKCC paddlers, they are big rafters, and they've offered to kind of show me down rivers in a raft before, so I definitely mm-hmm. will be doing that. Sounds fun.
I totally agree. Learn it from a ton of different angles.
Yep.
Sure. Cool. Yeah.
And then it's, as far as actually like dealing with boils, you just like brace and try not to flip over.
Sure. Although I like to try to roll in that weird boily water, just to kind of practice that when it's like not weirdly dangerous boily water, but the more flat boily stuff. So I guess another question. Go ahead.
I'll chime in. So, as an aside, someday in your boating career in the future, I hope you run the Grand Canyon. It's an awesome thing to do.
So the guy that's offered multiple times to take me in a raft, he is probably right about now driving there he's done it every year for the past like 5 years.
Oh, sweet.
On like the 3-week Grand Canyon trip. Nice. So that's definitely a bucket list item for me, for sure.
Oh yeah.
So for sure. You'll find that because it's a big volume river, and that canyon has really steep walls that are really deep, and it's not very wide. It's pretty narrow in some spots. And so a lot of people think that the boils at the bottom of the rapid are harder to deal with than the rapid was itself, because you'll have these just big wave trains, and then they'll kind of end in a pool, but it's basically current with boils everywhere. And then you got to deal with that. And it's a ton of fun, but just as an aside.
Yeah. I want to run it in. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the dories.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I want to run it in a dory. I saw there was like a YouTube documentary about the dories, and I was like, man, that looks like some river folk that I want to hang out with.
That's really cool. That's my retirement plan, since you brought that one up before, is to get a dory and refurbish it and take it down the big water rivers. So
that sounds awesome. Nerd. That sounds super cool. And this is the kayak nerds. So
yeah, exactly.
It can be the dory nerds, you know, can blossom into that.
It was aptly named. We're not fooling anybody.
Right. All right. So next general question I have is, how do you feel about the tandem whitewater kayaks as a way to kind of introduce people to whitewater?
Oh,
I've heard very, very mixed opinions on the tandem whitewater kayaks.
I don't know about introducing them, but Alan, we should do that this year.
We could do that this year. I gotta say, I have zero, like, it just doesn't grip me.
So yeah, my buddy back home got one, and he'd paddle in the back and put people in the front and just kind of like make them not do a whole lot and just kind of show them down and like, you know, show them what it's supposed to feel like. And then I got in the front of it once and we were like rolling that thing and we were like surfing it. It was a good time.
I think it's cool, and man. I'm all for it. Like anything you can have fun with, you know, like just rip it up.
I've just heard my thought was like that way, like when people come to visit me, you know, from Michigan, like my mom or friends or whatever, throw them in the front, take them down, show them kind of what all the hype's about. I was saying that to some people out here and they're like, absolutely not, like those things are garbage, like they're blah blah blah, you just, they're called divorce makers and you just blah, like get grumpy with it and it's dangerous and blah blah, blah. And they're like, just put them in an IK. I'm like I get that, but then like they don't get to, like, I feel like an IK, like, you don't really feel what it's like. Cause, like, my buddy that I'm getting paddling out here, he started in an IK. And then when he got in a hard shell, he was like, this is completely different. He's like, this is way harder. Like, this is weird. Like, cause you don't just bounce over everything. So that was like, I was like, it'd be cool to get a tandem. I really would like a Jackson Dynamic Duo versus the Fusion Duo, just cause it's shorter and, you know, more playful. But I can't find those anywhere. They're a unicorn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably because they're not probably a reason that, you know, not a lot of them exist, so that might be my answer right there. But
yeah, you know, I think it's a fun thing, but it's, I'm sure someone out there is going to totally disagree with me, but you know, I would never run anything hard in it. And you know, I think just like showing a friend down on a class 2 stretch, like that could be a really fun day.
Right. And so, that's my intent. If I got one, that would be my intention. I wouldn't be paddling it down, you know, the big stuff. It'd be like just a class 2, show people down and have a good time.
Yeah.
So the story I'm about to tell is a bit of an exception. Alan, are you aware of Noel Parker?
Yeah.
Yeah. So last year he won the Obie Joyful race, which is like the Crested Butte Creek. And was that last year? Maybe 2 years ago. Anyway, he's one of the best paddlers in this valley, if not the US. He's a very good paddler. And the other day, or last year maybe, I went down the numbers with him and he brought the dynamic duo that CKS has and stuck his girlfriend in front who'd never paddled before and just paddled the numbers, no big deal. He called it like a raft guide, you know, like lean left, lean right, paddle here, paddle there.
Yeah, that's exactly what my buddy does.
Yeah. And he also took, I mean, in this class 4 section, and he also took his mom. He took his mom down the Royal Gorge, and they had a good time. It was no issue. And granted, he is like the best paddler I know, but yeah, I don't know. I've thought about it before. Alan, I think we'll have to paddle one. Do you want to be in front or
I think
back?
You need to paddle one and then put that on the Kayak Nerds Instagram. That's what needs to happen.
That's gonna happen.
Now that we've had this conversation, it's gonna happen. Yeah,
it's gonna happen.
Dude, and we're gonna have to switch just like halfway through.
Oh, or... yeah.
Yeah, sure. That's a good point.
You gotta get that thing in a nice little surf wave.
We're paddling the numbers in it for sure.
Oh yeah. Hands down. So we have a big festival here in Salida's called FibArc, happens in the middle of the summer. And this was some years ago now, but Dane Jackson was there. He had been competing in the rodeo and he pulled out a dynamic duo and he's just started like taking people from the crowd. He was like, okay, who wants to go boating with me? And he
just, like, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. And he would just like paddle him into the hole and kind of surf around in the hole in front of the crowd. He gets this one guy in it and he puts him in front and he just paddles straight into the hole. And like, it's so long, he didn't have to side surf it. He could just like front surf the big pile. But it meant that the dude in the front was just completely buried.
Like underwater.
Getting waterboarded.
And surfing. And, yeah, the guy in the front's all like, blah, 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 blah.
That's awesome.
It was hilarious. That's super funny. Disappeared.
No, speaking of not exactly the same, but like yesterday, Jackson Kayak was putting on a thing, running the middle white salmon, because they had the little white on Saturday was the race.
Yeah, they had the race, didn't they?
And then on Sunday, Jackson was doing like a demo day. And I'm nursing a shoulder injury right now, so I was unable to go. And I was real bummed. I was real excited to go paddle the middle white salmon with Dane and the Jackson crew, but hopefully they do it next year. They're going to listen to this and be like, oh man, we need to do this again next year.
We're going to get Dane on at some point. It's going
to
happen.
Oh yeah. It needs to happen. I feel like he's the kayak nerd, right? Like,
have you heard Noria Newman's comment on him?
I have not.
You remembered, Alan?
I don't remember what was said.
She called him a muscle hamster.
Oh,
so there's a Brent Orton video where he's like, he's everybody calls Dane a muscle hamster, but he's actually a smart, you know.
He's a really good paddler. But
he is a beast. He can power through.
Did you guys see Saturday the results?
I didn't.
So it popped up on my Instagram, and he got like seventh place by like 15 seconds. So like, what? Huh. Someone beat Dane, and then the video comes out. He lost his paddle. It got stuck on a log and he lost his paddle
and still got seventh.
Did part of it upside down, like hand rolled up, got sucked under again, hand rolled up again, waited in an eddy for his paddle to catch up, grabbed his paddle and then finished and still got seventh place by 15 seconds. Like what? Like, yeah, he's an animal. Like, are you kidding me?
He's so good. I wish I could paddle like that.
Oh, right. Man. The trick to that is have your dad be a, you know, national champion and then grow up probably being in a boat before you could walk. That's how you get that good.
Yeah,
quite literally.
So I know we're kind of running out of time here, but there's one section left I want to talk about. It's probably the most important. So learning safety.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I guess like basic river safety, or what I call basic river safety, is like how to swim a rapid, you know, nose up, toes up, feet downstream, like how to hold a rope when there's a rope thrown to you, watch out for sweepers, strainers, etc.
What's a sweeper? I've never heard of a sweeper.
So sweeper, I've been taught sweeper of a tree that's dangling down over the water, but like it's not, it wouldn't trap you in the water, but like you still wouldn't want to go through it because you could get tangled up on that, or like fish hooks are often in it, that kind of
interesting
stuff.
Interesting.
If you're a raft, it'll sweep you off the boat.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I've been taught. So basically, once you know that stuff, what's next in learning safety, and like when should you take a swift water class, and when's too early, when's too late? And then like I've heard a lot of different types of swift water classes, so like what type of swift water class should I take?
Mm-hmm.
Or are there other safety courses that I should take before or after or along with said swift water class?
I wish we knew a swift water instructor. Oh wait, Adam's sitting right there.
We do.
I'm gonna take this one if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So short answer is, when is too early to take a swift water class? Never. When is too late to take a swift water class? When you need to pull your friend out of the river and you've never practiced it, that is when it is too late to take a swift water rescue class.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I'd say like class three, you probably want it for all of them.
Say what?
I was going to say class three, like, would be a good spot to start thinking about taking if you're going to start boating class three, you take swift water.
Yeah, I think it's totally reasonable. If you're looking at boating class three and it's something that you want to do more than once, take a swift water rescue course. Most swift water rescue courses, I say most, this is not all, but most don't have any prerequisites. So a good one is going to be able to take anyone who is at least familiar with the river and cover all the basic river safety and rescue or swift water rescue material. And I think you're already on it. It's going to do two big things. It's going to talk about how to keep yourself safe when you're in that environment, as you already mentioned. And it's going to talk about how to then safely be an asset to rescue your paddling partners. And lastly, rescue any gear that needs to be dealt with. And I, I can't recommend it strongly enough. I think take it as soon as you find one that you're that fits with your schedule and that you're happy with the, you know, you like the tenor of the people who are putting it on and all of that.
So I was really surprised how much I learned that wasn't tying knots in the Swiftwater course. I thought I was going to like go learn how to unpin boats for 3 days or 2 days or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And I really learned a lot of other useful stuff that had nothing to do with tying knots, like river safety and stuff that I hadn't really thought about before. And it was, I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. Did that answer your question?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely on my list of things to take. I just didn't know if there was some other thing I should be looking at as well. Like, is there such a thing as like a reading water, reading the river class?
That would be more in like a kayak class that you would take. If you're going to get with somebody to have them just work on your kayaking skills, that's going to be in that reading water. Area. And the same would be true for recognizing and avoiding hazards. That's often wrapped up with the skills of actually using the boat, right? The kayak class, sure. The raft class, whatever. Swiftwater kind of just steps away from how to negotiate the river and how to negotiate a specific kind of craft. And really talks about, you know, how do we practice a throw bag effectively? And how do we get good at that? And how do we get good at swimming? So you can swim a class 3 or 4 rapid and have it be kind of fun. Yeah. You know?
Right.
Yeah. So
that's a very good point. I was going to mention earlier that if you have a play park or a safe rapid that you can swim, it's a really good thing to practice.
We definitely, that little class 2 spot in Michigan, we definitely, on the warm summer days, we would swim that a lot, get hot, yeah. And then just swim down it. So
heck yeah. And really it's all about just being as comfortable as you can be in the water and kind of in however you find it.
Sure.
Right.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah. And then I guess you were asking about for Swiftwater, what's the, would any class do, or is there a progression there? You know, just know that there are your intro and you're kind of open to all Swiftwater classes, and those can be 2 or 3 days. You can take a 3-day full featured Swiftwater rescue course as your first course. And then a lot of instructors will offer like tune-ups or skill builder courses or advanced Swiftwater. And those are always fun to go back to and kind of add on to that basic skill set. And remember too, that Swiftwater is a perishable skill, right? If you don't practice your throw rope ability, you're going to lose it.
Sure.
Or you're not going to be as fast as you could be.
It's not like riding a bike.
Yeah.
I probably couldn't do a Z-drag right now if you asked me to.
Well, that just means that we have to do that in our next parking lot that we find ourselves in.
I was going to say, yeah. I think in one of your episodes, you talked about just like setting them up in your driveways or something like that.
We're going to do that at some point for sure.
Yeah, I don't remember who I was talking to, but somebody out here was basically saying you should take Swiftwater 3 times. And the first one's to know how to like save yourself. The second one's to learn how to like, you know, save the others. And I don't remember what the third one was, but there was a third reason as well.
fair enough. Well, I would definitely subscribe to that, and because if you take one and then a couple years later or the next year you want to take a refresher, take the full course again, because you're going to learn what you missed. You're going to pull out different things,
right?
You know, every time.
It's probably similar to, like I said, with the 101 class I took. I feel like the other students in the class were, mm-hmm. they were like drinking through a fire hose, getting all this information thrown at them. Mm-hmm. But since I already kind of knew a lot of it, I was really picking out like these little nuggets of like, oh, that's where I'm going. Oh, that little thing is where I'm missing. And then, like, I'd like, for example, peeling out for whatever reason, I was so like, if I was on river left trying to peel into the current, for whatever reason in my brain, I was like throwing my last stroke on my left side and then setting a draw, and I would just wash out. And when in reality, I want to be throwing a right sided stroke into moving that into the draw to like get that momentum. Mm-hmm. And so it's like that little thing. I was like, oh, I'm doing that one little thing wrong. And then like I went and did it the right way. And I was like, okay, I can peel out now. Like that was it. That awesome. Little thing was the difference. So it's probably similar with like a Swiftwater class.
I would agree.
Cool.
Absolutely. Cool. Yeah. And just to reiterate, take a Swiftwater class. You're going to thank yourself for taking one as soon as you can.
Sure. Yep. I think that is, it's on my plans for this year to try to take. So cool.
Totally. Well, that's all great. Did you have anything else? Any other burning questions that you wanted to geek out on?
I don't think so. I don't remember what they were, but I think you guys said you had questions that you were going to ask every episode.
Yeah, that's right. And I even have them written down because I was going to remember to do that. Thanks for reminding me.
I couldn't tell you what they were, but I remember that statement because I was like, oh boy, they have questions for me.
Yeah, they're, I'm curious to see your answers. But the first one is, what is your favorite kayak, having pedaled three-ish kayaks?
Yeah, definitely my Super Fun at this point. It's my favorite. It's just playful and I love it. And like I'm starting to be in the pool. It's bow style where it's a stern squirt, but it's with your bow, more or less.
Yes.
Yeah, I can do that in a pool, and that's fun. And I even did that kind of on accident, but did that into a stern squirt, which was super fun. That's no like pun a intended. Cartwheel. Yeah, it was like a half cartwheel. Yeah. I didn't go all the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a good time. And I've hand rolled that boat. I haven't hand rolled any other boat, so definitely super fun at this point. But maybe it'll become the Ripper. Everybody loves the Ripper.
Yeah, Mike sure loved the Ripper. Cool. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then what is your favorite section of whitewater that you've ever run?
Sure. So that would be out here. There's a little river called the Washougal River. It's like a class 2-3. And we did mile 0.5 down to kind of where that river meets. I forget what it's called, but like a bigger river where there's no more whitewater. And it was mostly two and like a lot of like, it was a little bit of everything, right? There's some wave trends. There's like a couple little like rocky sections. It was kind of like real creek in. There was a couple like good boof spots. And then there was this one rapid where it was like a class 3 rapid because you had to kind of catch an eddy on river right and then ferry across, because on river left, there's like a really good wave train. On river right, there was like a big old ledge that dropped into like a gnarly hole that you did not want to go in. And it was shallow, so it also hurt to go down. I think you walk away from it, but you're definitely bruised. Yeah. So it was just fun to like, we stopped and we looked at it and they were like, all right, like there's no shame in walking if you guys want to walk it. And I was like, you know what? I'm feeling pretty good today. Let's do it. And yep, catch that right eddy, make that ferry. And then, so actually that's a funny story because I caught the right eddy and then someone swam like right there. And like, so we got them and they were collecting them. And so I'm sitting there staring down this rapid, which is probably the biggest rapid I've gone down at this point. And I'm staring at it for a good like 5-10 minutes while this guy gets back in his boat. And at first I'm like, no hesitation at all. I'm ready to go. And then as I'm sitting there hearing it and just looking at it, I could just feel myself like, I'm like, what am I doing right now?
And what's then that adage? The longer you scout, the longer you swim.
Right. Yep. And so then eventually the president, I think, of the OKCC, she sees me and she's like, your eyes look huge right now. Like, you just need to do it. Like, let's just go. Me and you are going to go. They'll collect him. Like, we just need to go. So we did it. And yeah, it was a blast. Like, she was like, you'll be fine. It's just like a big wave train. Just keep paddling. Like, you'll be fine. And we did. And it was, that was an absolute blast. So that's definitely my favorite section so far.
Heck awesome. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Those are the only two questions that I've got lined up for everybody, but I think they're good ones. That was a good story.
Cool. Well, yeah. Thanks for having me on. This was a blast.
Yeah, thanks for reaching out. That was super cool. It's fun to know that we have at least one fan.
Oh, yeah. Well, two, because my buddy listens as well. So,
sweet, you know, heck yeah.
You got two fans.
Well, we'll have to come visit in the Pacific Northwest because there's a lot of stuff I'd like to paddle.
Absolutely,
there,
so. Yeah. Let me know, and I can try to get a group together. Apparently, so I haven't actually paddled it yet, but the white salmon, not the little white, but just the white salmon, that's apparently like if there's one river to paddle, that's the one. I've been told it's like Jurassic Park. It's just wild. Wow. And there's three sections. There's the upper, the middle, and the lower. And apparently it's a long day, but you can do them all in one day. And I think it's mostly three, a little bit of two. And then there's like a couple class 4 spots that he said were like easy to portage if you weren't feeling them. And then it washes right out into the gorge, the Columbia River Gorge. And so he's like, it's just a magical day. So definitely awesome. I plan on checking that out this summer. So,
well,
and that one flows year round. So
Yeah, we need to make a paddling trip sometime happen up there just to kind of spend more time for sure. And I just want to say, sounds like you skipped over the whole central part of the country with your boating. So if you want to see Colorado, come on out. We'll show you the
Yeah,
Arkansas
I
at least
actually
while we're here.
do. You guys are always talking about is it Salida? Salida?
Salida. Yep.
Salida, and then yeah, the Arkansas. Definitely would like to do that. The plan, so when my wife and I were driving out, the plan was, because I think you guys, you like, I don't know, something about pool sessions. The plan was, I was like, let's swing by Denver. I'm gonna hit up a pool session with the kayak nerds. It'd be great. And then we had some car issues on the way out, and
No.
so we cut the Denver part out of the trip to make up time. So
Bummer.
that's a shame.
Yeah. Well, I always tell people that the numbers is our class four section on the Upper Arkansas here. And I always tell people the numbers is like read and run class four plus. You're just like, yep, follow me, you'll be good. So it'd be a good time. We should
Once you
come out
get
and do it.
there, it'll be awesome.
For sure.
Oh boy, I can't wait for summer in big water.
Oh, heck yeah.
Is that when it's big water out there? Is summer?
Spring, summer, yeah.
Spring, summer? Okay,
Into
cool.
May.
So we're everything we have here is all snow melt dependent.
Okay.
So yeah, you can see it up in the hills, and you're like, that white stuff, that's what I'm gonna be paddling on in a month.
Right.
And even if we get a good big rain, it doesn't really seem to affect anything because we're so high
Okay.
already.
Sure. Yeah, back in Michigan it was 100% rain dependent. Like
Right.
100%.
Yep.
So
Well, this has been great. Thanks for
yeah,
the
it's been awesome.
Thanks for
cool.
joining us, Ryan. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan.
Yeah.
Oh, I did have one more question.
Oh, yeah.
What song is your intro slash outro?
You'll have to wait for that. We're going to do an episode on it.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.